All right, everyone, let's get our Bibles and turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, please. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Praise the Lord. We really need you to get back in the habit of filling out a white card, please. We need everyone to fill out a white card. Please stop ignoring that. We got to get back to 100% on white cards. Visitors, guests, everyone in attendance. If you did it last week, then you do it again this week, and then you do it again the following week. If you have children, please put the names of your children on your white card. That way I can get to know the names. I go through every white card and look at them. That's how I get to know who comes to Brian. We don't want to be one of those churches where you just fly under the radar and nobody knows who you are. Instead, we want the whole church to know who you are. Tonight, we are in 2 Samuel, and I hope you'll come back. I hope a handful of you will come back. I hope some of you will come back, and the rest will join online. It's an incredible chapter. It is the chapter that David gets angry with God and dances before him all at the same time in the same chapter. So it is quite the chapter. But for now, let's look at Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the book of Genesis, and we thank you for all it's going to do for us as disciples of Christ, as we are committed to being faithful to the teaching of your word and to showing your people what it says and how it impacts our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would grow as disciples, that we would find ourselves maturing in the knowledge of your word and the truth that's proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. So, one verse. 50 chapters in the book of Genesis, organized around 6 major characters in 2 giant parts, almost like a new and an old, old and a new testament. But part 1 is chapters 1 through 11. Part 2 is chapters 12 through 50. And then the break would occur right here. So the A is for Adam and the N is for Noah. And then the first A is for Abraham, followed by Isaac, followed by Jacob, followed by Joseph, all right? Please commit that to memory. So 50 chapters divided into 2 major structures, 1 through 11. Chapter 12 picks up with the life of Abraham, and then we just simply walk through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, also known as Israel, the 12 sons of Israel, namely Joseph, gets most of our attention about the last 11 chapters of the book. No, the book in the Bible is challenged more for its authenticity than the book of Genesis. That's why we're here. That's why we want to teach it, because it presents the most foundational, absolute truth of the Bible and life. And that truth is that there's only one and only God, the God of the Bible, who has one and only Son, namely the man Jesus Christ. And that Lord created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them out of nothing. Out of nothing. Now, that's what you've got to decide. Do I believe that? I know my mom and dad do, but do I believe that? It's a personal choice that you need to make. So in the beginning, God. This is the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohim. It's used 2,300 times to refer to the God of the Bible. Webster's Dictionary is the definition is the being perfect in power, wisdom, goodness, who is worshipped as creator and ruler of the universe. Really, that is not a bad definition. That's really not a bad definition at all. The Westminster Confession from our Presbyterian brothers and sisters in Christ say, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So that's the short answer in the Westminster Confession. Let's focus on this word created. God created. In the beginning, God created. This is our article of faith, Brian Baptist Church. Those of you that are going to come to our first class in a couple weeks, you'll have an opportunity to read this. We put our attention on the fact that God is the creator. So God the creator, we accept the Genesis account of creation, that is Genesis 1:1 and Exodus 22-3. We believe that man came by direct creation of God and not evolution. We believe in one God who is creator of the heaven and the earth, who is spirit, light, love, truth, eternal, almighty, infallible, unchangeable, infinitely wise, just, and holy. and that that God exists eternally in three persons, namely Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God the Creator is the first truth that needs to be taught, foundational. All right, it is the absolute truth that you, if you're a mama, and you, if you're a daddy, and you got any young ones in your house, you ought to be brainwashing them with this truth. Amen. And by brainwashing, I mean just inundating them with it. Just on a regular and continual basis, you need to be reminding them that God made you. Real simple. God made you. God made your mama. God made your daddy. God made the stars. God made the earth. God made everything. God made everything. They need to be hearing that from morning until the close of day. We are ignoring oftentimes or assuming the absolute necessity of this truth. God the Creator is the starting point for both evangelism and discipleship. It's the starting point. It's the foundational truth that must be taught. God made you. God the Creator is absolutely essential. God the Creator is foundational to all Christian doctrine. God the Creator is critical to the entire narrative of the Bible. The narrative of the Bible doesn't even make sense if God isn't the Creator. It makes absolutely no sense. And finally, God the Creator is completely non-negotiable, completely non-negotiable. Let me say it like this. If your church doesn't subscribe to God the Creator, it's not a church. It's not a church. It might be a gathering of people in a brick building, but it is not a church. All Christian churches believe that God made everything. That's a foundational truth. Can't even have a discussion about it. It's not we'll agree to disagree. That's right. Okay? It's not that kind of an idea. Turn to Acts chapter 17. I want to show you what I mean by it's a foundational truth for evangelism. A foundational truth for evangelism. And we're going to use the Apostle Paul to show us this in Acts 17. This is a great section of narrative for us. Acts 17. Give you a second to get there. Acts 17. Paul is standing in the midst of this kind of a location, and he says, "Men of Athens," in verse 22. Men of Athens. In verse 22 of chapter 17, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious." That's America, a very religious country. "For as I passed along, I observed the objects of your worship." The objects of your worship. "I found an altar with an inscription." What was on that inscription? "To the unknown God." To the unknown God. Paul says, what you therefore worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. All right, Paul, what's your proclamation going to be? What is it that you'll proclaim? What's the first thing you want to tell them? What's the starting point for your proclamation? What are you going to tell them from the beginning? And then we get it in verse number 24. "The God who made the world," the God who made the world and everything in it, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord, Lord, sovereign over heaven and earth, that God doesn't live in temples made by man. That God doesn't live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind," what does he give them? "Life and breath and everything." Amen. Now, if you don't believe that, I don't have anything else for you. That's where we need to start. That's where we need to have a conversation. I can't leapfrog over that and tell you Jesus loved you and then lead you in a sinner's prayer and tell you you're good to go. No, we got to start here. Do you believe there is a God who made you? Because that's the establishment of his sovereignty over all things. What right does he to call you a sinner? What right does he to tell you that you're lost and on your way to hell if you don't even believe he made you? Look where he goes with this. You're worshiping an unknown God, but I want to tell you who that God is. That God is the creator of the world and everything in it. That God is Lord. He's the Kurios of heaven and earth. He's the master of heaven and earth. He's the boss of heaven and earth. And he doesn't live in a temple in Thailand. He doesn't need you to give him an orange soda pop. You think I'm joking? They're still happening right now. Okay? Give him something to drink. Putting him in a box. That God is outside of any temple. That God lives outside of anything that you can build. He doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't need anything from you because he himself gives to all mankind life, breath, and everything. You're here this morning because he gave you life and breath. You're breathing right now because he's giving you life and breath. Everything that you have is a result of his mercy and grace in your life. Amen. And he made from one man. Not a product of evolution. Not a whole bunch of men becoming humans all over the place on different continents. From how many men? One man. He made from one man. What did he make? Every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. You want to crush racism? Do you want to crush racism? Get back to the reality that we all came from Adam. There's one human race. One human race. We're all descendants of Adam. We're all descendants of Eve, without regard to your skin color, without regard to your ethnicity. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. And this sovereign God, notice what he's done. He has determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. Now, you talk about sovereignty. How long will you be a great global power, Great Britain, as long as I see fit? How long will you be a great global power, USSR, as long as I see fit? How long, you, America, will you remain a superpower? As long as I see fit, and not a day beyond it. Not a day beyond it. Not a day. He's determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he's actually not far from each of us. So he's on a throne in heaven and he's actually close to us at the same time. What an amazing God we have, that he has a presence on the throne of God in heaven and that he has a presence on this earth such that he's actually not far from each one of us. For in fact, one of your poets said, in him we live and move and have our being. Paul said the man was actually closer to truth than he realized when he wrote that. Now please, as even some of your own poets have said, we are indeed his offspring. We'll talk about that more when we get into being the image bearer of God. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. God is not a product of man's imagination. And then we read in verse number 30, the times of ignorance God overlooked. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Why? Why are all people everywhere commanded to repent? Because that God has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. Of this he's given assurance to all. And please notice, by raising him from the dead. Now don't miss this. We need to get this. The text is saying very clearly here, God made you. God made you. God made you. God made you. And that there is a day of accounting coming, a day of reckoning coming, a day of judgment coming, a day in which each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. And if you're wondering about that, if you're in doubt as to the veracity of that, is that really going to happen? He says, I let him, or I orchestrated the death of my son and then brought him back from the grave as the validation that this is true. Read it with me. Because he, God, has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man. That man is Jesus Christ, whom God has appointed. And of this, God has given assurance to all by the raising him from the dead. So to everyone this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the validation of the truth that that same Jesus is going to judge you someday. You ready to see him? You ready to meet him? You ready to give an account? You ready to stand there and say, let's go, let's get this show on the road? Here's the reality. You got to decide, am I going to let Charles Darwin be the primary influence in my life? Or am I going to let people like the Apostle Paul be the primary influence in my life? Remember what Paul said? Paul said, follow me as long as I'm following who? What did Paul say? Come on, y'all know your Bibles. What did Paul say? Follow me as long as I'm following Jesus. And we follow the apostles. That's what we do. We follow the writings of the apostles. They influence us. You know why they influence us? Because they were appointed and commissioned by Jesus Christ. They are the foundation of the church because Jesus built the church on the prophets and the apostles. 1,800 years before Charles Darwin, the Apostle Paul described America. Turn over a few pages to Romans chapter 1 and see how he described the world that we're in today. Romans chapter number 1, please. We're going to look at two verses. And that's not right. 24 and 25 is not right. I messed that up. No, it is. It's the blurring of the glasses that's messing up. You know how these stupid, what do they call them, progressive, like part of the lens is one way and part of the... They're not bifocals. Old people wear bifocals, sister, okay? All right, these are different, okay? These are different. Transition, I think, or something. It's a fancy name. Therefore, in verse number 24, God gave them up. What a scary thought. God gave them up. You don't want God to give up on you. Amen. God gave them up. He gave them up to the lust of their hearts. He gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. He handed them over to their debase, debauchery, their depravity. Just have at it. The passions of their vulgar flesh, the pursuit of all that sexual impurity. He just gave them up. He just handed them over to that. The rest of their lives were consumed with the pursuit of pleasure, the lust of their flesh. God, why in the world would you do that? Read what the text says. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a what?
A lie.
Now you need to get this. They had the truth. They had the truth and they traded the truth for a what? A lie. Do you understand the world had the truth? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The world had the truth. The world was given the truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the truth. I don't want that one. Do you have something else? Yes, I got something else for you. What do you have for me? You are an evolutionary process. I'm not kidding. We have thousands, we have hundreds of thousands, we have millions of people who traded the truth that God made them for a lie that they came from monkeys. That instead of God creating the heavens and the earth, a giant bang occurred, and out of that bang came all that we have. Just amazing how it all fell out, just so marvelously perfect. And from that bang came little, tiny little things who made bigger little things until finally we have a human being the way we are today. Isn't that amazing? And we're told that if you're intellectual, then that's what you believe. We're told if you're smart, that's what you believe. We're told if you're on the right side of this, that's what you believe. And if you believe this old book and what it says, you're mocked as old-fashioned, ignorant, stupid, uneducated. And Paul says that they exchanged the truth for a lie. And instead, they worshiped and served the creature rather than, what's it say? The creator. See, you're going to worship something. Everybody in this room worships something. You know why you do? Because you were built to worship. You were created to worship. You're either going to worship God or you're going to worship something else. But you worship. Make no means of that. You're a worshiper. You worship something. This is just amazing if you think about the fact that what Paul describes is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. Now think with me for a moment, because you know the story about the Garden of Eden. You know that Satan was present. You know that he told her a lie. He said to her, you want to be like God. You want to have God-like things. You need to worship yourself. You don't want to worship God. You need to have what God has. And you know what he gave her? He gave her a lie. He told her that this wouldn't kill her, that she could eat this and become like God. And you know what she did? She exchanged the truth for a lie. She exchanged the truth for a lie and served herself rather than the creator. And we've been doing it ever since. The whole earth is in love with saving the earth. Save the earth. Planet Earth's got to be saved, got to be saved, got to be saved. And it sounds so noble, doesn't it? It sounds so noble. We're going to save it for the next generation. And certainly we need to be good stewards. No doubt we need to be good stewards. We can have a whole conversation about being good stewards. But at what point are we going to sacrifice worshiping God to worship the earth? And we worship models, actors, professional sports players, political figures, billionaires. We worship philosophies, ideals, good causes. We worship our family, our spouses, and even ourselves instead of the creator. So God the creator created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Acts 4:24 says, listen to this prayer, this statement. They lifted their voices together. Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. God did not create the spark which led to the Big Bang. That's not what happened. God created all matter, including Adam and Eve. God did not start the evolutionary process. There was no evolutionary process. You say, but how do you account for the age of the earth? You act as though God can't create something in a mature status. You act as though God can't create a mature Adam. You act as though you're going to limit God. So you're here this morning worshiping God as you simultaneously limit his ability to do something. God can't create the universe with age. God can't create the earth with layers. Acts 17:24 says, God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven. Our God created all matter, every bit of matter. There was not matter and God. God existed before matter. Why? Because God is a spirit. God is a spirit. God is spirit. He's not a material being. There's no matter in God. Until the incarnation of Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit existed as spirit. That is without material existence. God alone is everlasting. Material is not eternal. God alone is eternal. So we emphasize that God, our creator, is the only eternal being. And Isaiah 40 does it so well for us. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. The Lord is the everlasting God. We'll talk about this word Lord in just a moment, but the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. How many of you are glad that God does not faint or grow weary? How many are glad that God's not exhausted? Man, I sure hope I get God on a good day when he's not so tired. Let's talk about the word Lord there. It's first mentioned to us in Genesis 2:4. It's the Hebrew word for Jehovah, the self-existing one. It's the proper name of the God of Israel. It's why Allah and Jehovah aren't the same. No matter what the liberal media tries to indoctrinate into you, which is we all worship the same God. They worship Allah, we worship Jehovah, but it's the same. No, no, and more no. Jehovah is the God of Israel. Jehovah is the God of Isaac, not Ishmael. It's the proper name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so this Lord, the Lord God, made the earth and the heavens. So he's the Lord, he's God, he's the creator, and he's everlasting. Christians believe that our God is the uncaused cause. Now let's get this, because we believe that for everything there's a cause. We understand that. That's the world we live in. We don't know of anything that doesn't have a cause. We've never had a chocolate chip cookie delivered to us that didn't have someone that baked it. We don't know of anything that doesn't have a cause associated with it. You're here because you got up in the morning and you drove here. There was a cause behind it. You just didn't appear here. So we subscribe to that idea, but we say that behind that train somewhere, there's got to be an uncaused cause. Scientists subscribe to a spark. So the reasonable question is, what caused the spark? What caused the spark? See, we're told that we're the ones that live by faith and they have science. Well, where did it come from? There's got to be a beginning. You're the one that says that everything has a cause. Whereas we subscribe to the idea by faith, we believe our God is the uncaused cause. And our Bible teaches us this. Hebrews 11:3. By faith, and then what's it say? We understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We own up to the fact that we cannot explain where God came from. We don't attempt to do that. The Bible doesn't do that. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. It doesn't tell us where God came from. Instead, we're told God is eternal. You say, I don't understand that. Me neither, nor does anyone else in this room. But if you reject that perspective, what are you left with? Do you have a better alternative view? I give you a Sunday night to present your better alternative view. I mean, doesn't evolution give you all kinds of hope? God the Creator created out of nothing. Let there be light is what God said, and there was light. By the way, our song lyric was shattered the darkness, Jonathan, shattered the darkness. That's exactly what happened on that day. He shattered the darkness when he said, let there be light. There was darkness. There was darkness. There was no light. And he said, let there be light. And God shattered the darkness. And by the way, Jesus will be described as the light. We'll get a chance to talk about that in the weeks to come. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made in the breath of his mouth and all their host. Romans 4:17 is an amazing verse. If you don't have it underlined in your Bible, it'll encourage you to get there and mark it for your own future reference. Let's talk about it. Chapter 4:17 is talking about Abraham. It's talking about Abraham. And it's calling Abraham this amazing man of faith. He's the father of many nations. He's the father of all who believe like he believed. What did Abraham believe? Paul describes it. He says, as it is written, I have made you, referring to Abraham, the father of many nations, in the presence of God in whom he believed. Abraham believed in God. What did Abraham believe about that God that he believed in? He believed that he gives life to the dead. That's what this God can do. This God can give life to the dead. This is why we don't fear death. This is why there's no reason for us to be afraid of COVID-19. This is why we should not be living in fear of death. Because we believe our God gives life to the dead. This means for us, death is not death. This means to us, when we die, God gives us life. Your life does not cease to exist when you die. Do you know why? Because God has the power to give you life. When you strip God of the creator, God of Genesis, how do you have any confidence that he can give you life? And wait a minute, it's not done. And he calls into existence the things that do not exist. Now there's a foundational truth right there. God and God alone, because I can't do this, nor can you, nor can anyone in this room, call into existence things that don't exist. And that's what he does all in chapter one. That's what he does. The whole chapter one is nothing but calling into existence things that don't exist. This is the answer to where did it all come from? God calls into existence things, matter, that do not exist. Adam did not exist until God called him into existence. Light did not exist until God called it into existence. The Latin phrase here is out of nothing. It's ex nihilo. It's out of nothing. The counter phrase is nothing comes from nothing. It means that the universe was formed from eternal matter. We reject that. We reject that. Those two truths cannot coexist. Now, from our human perspective, nothing comes from nothing. From our human perspective, in your own life, nothing comes from nothing. That's very true. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to create it. You're going to have to build it. But from God's perspective, he created out of nothing. And that distinguishes us from God. Because you don't have the ability to make something out of nothing. Only God can do that. God's creation reveals his power and wisdom. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." This is why every one of you are accountable before God. You're supposed to look up and say, "God made that." You're not supposed to look up and say, "Hey, that came from nothing. Wasn't that cool?" No, the heavens declare his power. The heavens declare his wisdom. You're supposed to look at the human eye and say, only God could do that. You're supposed to look at the heart as you understand and say, only God could do that. Now turn to Revelation chapter 4. For this God who created is worthy. And I want to show you this. And we don't get this. We just simply don't get this. Revelation chapter 4. Let me remind you how the book is organized. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation are seven letters to seven churches. The last one is the church in Laodicea. You might see that on the very page of your Bible that you're looking at. And then at that point, John is taken and given a series of visions. A series of visions. It's literally one vision after another. It sees and sees and sees and sees and sees stuff. And then he records his vision and sees more and records his vision and sees more. So let's look at the first vision. Chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. So John is given a vision of heaven. And the first voice, which I heard speaking to me, was like a trumpet and said, "Come up here and I will show you what must take place after this." So John's going to see things about the future. "At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne." And then we get this description of the throne: jasper and emerald and a rainbow. And then there are 24 thrones, and seated on there are 24 elders, and they're clothed in white garments, golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne in verse number 5 came flashes of lightning and rumbling and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches, That is the perfect number, the complete number of torches. There are seven spirits of God, which is the perfect number again. And before the throne, there was as a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, each side of the throne, are four living creatures. And quite frankly, these creatures are bizarre in their appearance. The first was like a lion. The second, like an ox. The third, like the face of man. The fourth, like an eagle of flight. Four living creatures, each of them with six wings. Must have been bizarre. Six wings. And they have eyes all the way around their entire head, for they see day and night and never cease to say. And then we read these words, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." That's why sin bothers God. That's why your sin is not okay with God. That's why your sexual immorality is not okay with God. That's why your selfishness is not okay with God. It's why your pursuit of what you like the most is not okay with God. Because God is holy, holy, holy. And he is almighty. And he was and is to come. He's eternal in that direction. He's present and he is future. All at the same time. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who's seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down before him, seated on the throne. And you know what they do? They worship him. And by the way, we're going to get into David's worship of the Lord tonight, in which he dances before the Lord. He dances before the Lord. And in fact, he's criticized by his wife for how debased he gets in front of the Lord. You see, an unbeliever doesn't understand what a believer understands when it comes to worship. And when somebody in this church gets a little rowdy around you in worship, you're like, "Ooh, I'm just a little uncomfortable with that." You're going to be pretty uncomfortable in heaven for a while. You'll have to get used to the worship God's going to get in heaven for a while. Because these 24 elders are falling down before him and they're worshiping him. They're not cutting loose. They're letting it go. They're not worried about what their peer group thinks of them as they're worshiping. And what do they say? "Worthy are you, O Lord and God." Why is he worthy to receive glory and honor and power? Why is he worthy to receive your life? Why is he worthy to receive your talents? Why is he worthy to receive your time? Why is he worthy to receive your treasure? Why is he worthy to receive your sacrifice? Why is he worthy to receive your personal holiness and the pursuit of it? Why is he worthy to receive glory and honor and power? Because he's the creator. That's right, sister. Because he created all things. And then we read these words, and we need to see them crystal clear this morning. "And by your will, they existed and were created." Do you know why you're a male? Do you know why you're a female? Do you know why you're light-skinned or dark-skinned? Do you know why you're of any ethnicity that you are this morning? Why is that? Because God created you as such. Do you know why you're alive this morning? Do you know why you're giving another day? Because God chose to give you another day. You and I exist out of his sovereign will. Should we have appropriate precautions? Yes, we should. Should we wash our hands and brush our teeth? Of course we should. Of course we should. Should we live in fear of a virus? No. No, we should not live in fear of a virus. If the government wants us to put a mask on and get inside BJ's, put your little mask on, but trust in the Lord, not in the mask. Trust in the Lord. If the government says wash your hands a whole bunch for 20 seconds, wash them for 20 seconds. But understand, you can wash them for 2,000 seconds. And if God sees fit, he's going to bring your life to an end. We're different. We are different. Our worldview is different. We believe God created us. We believe God sustains our life. We believe that we will exist until the time that God has seen fit. It doesn't mean that we're foolish people. It doesn't mean we don't call 911. It doesn't mean that we don't put a pressure dressing on there when there's a deep cut. Of course we do all things. And then we understand that God orchestrated that and used that. We don't say it was the pressure dressing that saved our lives. We say God used the pressure dressing to save our lives. Do you see the difference? We have a fundamental different perspective on life. We are different. And our difference begins with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We believe he's worthy to receive honor and glory and power because he created all things. And for all you students of the Bible right now, I want to show you a side note. Before we see redemption in chapter 5, we saw creation in chapter 4. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. The first vision John saw was not redemption. He did not see the Lamb standing before the slain before the foundation of the world. He saw, first and foremost, God the Creator. Now, chapter 5, the very next chapter, is the Redeemer. It's the Lamb. But before I'm going to talk to you about the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world, I'm going to talk to you about God created you, Josh. God created you just the way you are. God created you. And then I need to remind you that God created such that Christ is also the creator. Christ is also the creator. And this is unbelievable. Turn to John chapter 1. This is kind of inconceivable. We really can't wrap our brain around this. In fact, we can't wrap our brain around the entire Trinity. The Trinity is a mystery to us. Don't try to compare it to an egg or a three-legged clover or anything stupid like that. Because the Trinity is the most complex thing in the world. So you're not going to be able to explain it. Okay. Verse 1 of chapter number 1 of the Gospel of John. In the beginning. I hope you're turning there. These are the kind of passages that every Christian in this room should know inside and out. They shouldn't be wondering, why is he going there? You should know why I'm going here. If you don't, it's time to start studying your Bibles more, not less. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and he goes on. I need you to see verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, if you're wondering who is the Word, who is the Word, chapter 14, verse 14 makes it perfectly clear. In fact, it would do you well to draw a little arrow between verse 1 down to verse 14 and connect those two if you don't have that connection made in your mind already. In fact, every Christian in this room should know John chapter number 1, verses 1 through 14, just down cold. I'm not saying that you have every word memorized. I'm not saying you have every word memorized, but you know what's in John 1. You know the truth of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then we read in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What? The Word took on flesh? Who is this Word that takes on flesh? Who's the Logos that takes on flesh and now is dwelling among us? He's tabernacling among humanity like God tabernacled in the Garden of Eden. And now God is tabernacling among his people on this earth. And we, with our eyes, saw his glory. And then, so that we know what glory we're talking about, it's the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So now we understand that in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. And now we know that there's no way Jesus can be a created being. Jesus cannot be a created being. And in fact, any religion that suggests that Jesus is a created being is heresy. It's heretical. It's unorthodox. It's out of the pit of hell. Let me say it like that. It's a cult. It's a false religion. It's not true. And though, if that's not enough, turn to Colossians 1. Colossians 1 is even more specific. It's even more detailed. So 1st and 2nd Corinthians, keep turning pages. Galatians, Ephesians, you're almost there. Get to Philippians, you're just about there. And then we land ourselves on Colossians. Colossians. Paul, the author of the run-on sentence, just starts with these series of prepositional phrases, just one right after another. And we're wondering who he's talking about in these series of things. Giving thanks to the Father in verse 12, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. And then this God who delivered us from the domain of darkness, the same God who eliminated darkness by creating light, he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now we know we're talking about Jesus in verse number 13, Son, uppercase S-O-N, the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That this Son in whom we have redemption, the one who died on a cross for our sins, that he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. That doesn't mean that he had a birth. It means that he's above all creation. For by him, that is this Jesus, the Son, all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. And now we read, all things were created through him and for him. You were created for Jesus. You were created for Jesus. Every day that you live your life for yourself, you're living in sin. Every day that you live your life for Jesus, you are pleasing God. It's that simple, because you were created for him. You're created for him. All things were created for him. He is before all things, and in him all things, what? They hold together. You are not flying apart right now because he is holding you together. He is holding you together. So finally, God the Creator is to be remembered. Last verse. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Solomon, the wisest man on the earth, said to remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Church, we would do well this week to remember our Creator. To remember our Creator, to think about our Creator, to live our lives in such a way that we don't forget that we were created by God and for him. Let me ask you very specifically this week. Let me ask you individually right now. When you leave this auditorium, and I don't see most of you back tonight, for the next 6 days, will there be anything you or your family does that remembers your Creator? Will there be anything that you and your family does? Most of you will have a little prayer when you eat. God is good. God is great. Thank you for this food. Amen. Check, 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 check. You know. Beyond that, will there be anything else that remembers your Creator? Will you pick up your Bible and read it in the next 6 days because he wrote this book? Will there be a prayer time as you remember your Creator? Will there be any evidence in your life over the next 6 days that you remember your Creator? If a drone followed you everywhere you went, a drone followed you throughout your, would there be any evidence that you remember your Creator? Do you live your life in such a way that God will get the glory and honor? Is there anything about what you'll do in the next 6 days that'll give any indication that you believe God created you? God, you made me. I was created by you for your glory. I need to make personal choices and live my life in such a way that it reflects, I believe you made me. I'm not a product of evolution. I was made by God. Made by God for his glory and his purposes. Remember your creator is what he said. And then he said, what? In the days of your youth. Why? Because the days of your youth are the most productive times oftentimes. The youth is the glory days. Don't wait till you're dead to decide to start serving God. It might be too late. Do it in your youth. In your youth. So remember to remember God created you. Shun all evolutionary theories. Shun them. Wholeheartedly reject them. Don't try to merge the Bible and science together in some way in which you try to find a compromise position. Number two, remember who God is. Who is he? He's the Almighty. He's the Sovereign. Remember who he is. This week, remember who God is. Get to know the one true living God. Get to know the holy triune God. When does God hear from you? When do you pray? When you have a need? Is that the extent of it? Just before you exit the high-performance aircraft, God, keep me safe until I get on the ground. Is that the extent of your prayer life? Remember God's word. Study it. Ask his spirit to give you insight. Pray. Start with, God, this is your book. You wrote it. I want to read it more. Help me to understand it. Number four, remember God loves you. That's absolute truth. God loves you. God sent his son to die on a cross for you. But simultaneously, remember that your sin has condemned you. Remember that your sin has condemned you. But wait a minute. Remember that Jesus, God's son, came to seek and to save the lost. Beautiful truth. Remember that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you pray a prayer something like, God, show yourself to me so that I don't have to have faith, that prayer will never get answered. You know why? Because the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. If you're asking to live a way that you don't have to have faith, God's not going to answer that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Remember, if you're saved, say, Pastor Sean, I'm clearly saved. I know I'm saved. Then God made you a new creation. You need to start living that way. Remember, each will give an account to God for their lives. Individually. And finally, remember, you were created by God for his glory. Let's have a moment of silence. You could call it an old-fashioned invitation. How are we doing? How's our faith? How's our walk with the Lord? Do we need to repent? Do we need to sing? Do we need to praise? Jonathan, come up here and lead us. What do we need to confess? What do we need to think about? Where have we walked away from remembering our Creator? Where do we need to put our focus? Lord God, forgive me for living my life in such a hellish way that I've forgotten who you are. I've forgotten that you made me. God, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. My faith is in Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I haven't been living that way. And I ask you, God, to forgive me of that sin of forgetting my Creator. God, I'm not really sure that in the next 6 days there would be much evidence that I have remembered my Creator. I'm not too concerned about your honor or glory. I'm more concerned about me and my car and my house and my family and my health and my welfare and my bank account, my children. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Is the Holy Spirit working in your life right now? Talk to the Lord. John's going to lead us in worship. We'll have a time of worship. I want to give you a chance to pray if you need to pray. Think if you need to think. Repent if you need to repent. Trust in Jesus if you need to trust in Jesus. Let's worship the Lord, church.